This is preaching for the 29th, that is the Thursday of the fifth week of Lent. The readings are from Jeremiah, and that's a discussion of the turning over of the covenant, and in that turning over, the change of Abram's name to Abraham. And then from John, the eighth chapter, the gospel is the moments when Jesus is pushing the people to be more consistent at living the covenant and, in a sense, telling them that they need to listen to him and not be so dependent on their ancestors. And they don't take his advice and try to stone him, and he withdraws into kind of the quietness of privacy. So that's the general setting and the theme. And so I'll begin preaching now. A few years ago, when I served as dean of students at a Catholic university, on the way between my residence and my office, I passed through a corridor with offices dedicated to the education school. And there was a professor of education whom I knew pretty well, a woman named Elaine Schwartz, who had an office there, and frequently I would stop in and say a quick hello. And as I was walking one day, rather than her name on the door, I saw the name Pingula Dali. And I was surprised and wondered what had happened to Elaine and thought about it for a few minutes and then continued on. And I hadn't seen her for a while. Well, another few weeks passed, and on that same door where I had seen the new name, Pingula Dali, I came across yet another name. Now it was Elena Rose Lovejoy. So this door, or the name on the door, went from Elaine Schwartz to Pingula Dali to Elena Rose Lovejoy. And the door was open a bit, and I stuck my head in, and sure enough, Elaine, the person I knew as Elaine, was sitting at her desk, and she said hello, and we chatted. Then I said to her, "Why the name change on the door? I don't quite understand it," and she laughed. She said, "That's a Jewish custom, and when something happens to you that's life-changing or that's truly significant, one of the byproducts in our religious tradition is that there is a name change." And she had been appointed to some department chair or something like that. So in any event, it changed her name twice. So she was now going as Elena Rose Lovejoy, not as any kind of a foolish charade. It was simply the custom, and she followed the custom. Now, I think about that particularly because in the first reading today, we have this very dramatic situation where Abram, in his kind of confrontation with God, is called Abraham and told that he would be given a multitude of people as his heritage, as his progeny, and that they would be given a sense of identity because he would enter into a covenant with them. And it was Abraham's job to maintain a sense of stability within that community as their leader, having entered into this new relationship with God, which we call the covenant. So he gave them an identification, and he gave them a direction. And I consider that to be the first step on the way to what I call the building of the people of the table. That's the way I look at it, the people of the table. Now, in John's Gospel, we have obviously a great deal of time passing, and what happens in this particular situation is Jesus is saying to the people, you were given this incredible gift, this gift of identification, this gift of a personality and a direction. You were invited into this unbelievably powerful relationship with Yahweh, and you have Abraham to teach you about it, and in a sense, he established with you and under God's power what I consider to be this people of the table. And now you're being inconsistent, you're not being faithful to the covenant, there are all kinds of things happening that are not part of the plan. And so I'm going to help you, I'm going to step in, and I'm not only going to help you write your direction and regain that sense of identity, I'm going to tell you that being the people of the table is a powerful role to play in the history of religious ideas. And the other thing I'm going to tell you is that I am the one who can bring you to the table, and in fact, more than that, I am the table. Now, that's a powerful set of situations for us to wrestle with, and yet that's exactly what we're asked to do today. And it comes at a timely moment because we're kind of finishing off the period of preparation and sacrifice of Lent to be able to move into this explosive celebration of Easter, which is kind of the people at the table at their best. We are at our best at Easter. The people are not happy with Jesus' interference, and they say to him essentially, "Who do you think you are? We have our leaders, our ancestors to turn to, and we don't really need your advice or your help." And Jesus is trying to persuade them that this is really a better way to go and that they really need to consider the terms of the covenant. They need to kind of gain that consistency again, understand what the covenant means, this sense of forgiveness, of compassion, of love, of building of community, so that they can take their rightful place as the people of the table.